Welcome to Wise Health for Women Radio with Linda Prater. Women are pressed daily to give more, learn more, and be more, often at the expense of mind, body, or spirit. Each week with intriguing guests and topics, we'll bring you fresh ways to view your limited time, encouraging a shift to new, healthier perspectives. Wise Health for Women Radio, helping women thrive. And now here's your host, Linda Prater. Good morning, and welcome to Wise Health for Women Radio. I'm Linda Crater, and we're going to talk today about money, finances, things that we maybe don't want to talk about, but need to know about. And knowledge is a great way to know how to keep track of things. And then if the worst happens, let's say you're in a divorce or you're suddenly widowed or you're abandoned in some way, shape, or form, if you are informed about your financial situation, you have kept yourself involved in money matters in the household, maybe you were the one managing the money, you are much better equipped to handle things. But we're going to talk today to someone who will help you in case you're not well involved or understanding. And we are going to talk today to Tracy Conan. Did I say your name correctly?
You sure did, Linda.
Oh, yay. A win for me. So Tracy's going to talk to us. She's a forensic accountant, and she helps undergo evaluations for someone who's divorcing. Where are the accounts? Where did the money go? Where is it now? And it takes a look at some of the things that sometimes people are less than honorable. Let's be very square. And in a divorce or a really bad abandonment situation, you really need to know where is the money, where is it going, what is your claim, if any, to it, and to know how to look out for yourself. Because I think many women do not know how. So, Tracy, you take it in whatever direction you would like to take it. But I think step by step, letting people know what to look for and what to be aware of is probably the most important message you can get across today.
Well, I love where you started this, Linda, because I am a forensic accountant, as you said. I do fraud investigations, some of that on the corporate side, some of it in divorce cases. Mm-hmm. But I also have something called the Divorce Money Guide, which is something to help women who are going through divorce understand their money at divorce time. Mm-hmm. And it's exactly like you said. You need to know where your money is, how much there is, and what has happened to it mm-hmm. over the last several years. And until you know those things, you cannot and should not enter into any sort of settlement in your divorce. I see mm-hmm. women leaving so much money on the table in their divorces, and it's because they don't know enough about what has been going on with their money. So you kicked us off so beautifully.
Well, I'm going to put a twist in this. Sometimes I do think it's important to know all of that, but I will also say that sometimes the pain is too hard to go through when you've been betrayed that you walk away. So you do leave money on the table, and you do leave it intentionally, if I might add, at times, because the betrayal is too high.
Certainly. Divorce is incredibly emotional and painful. And there comes a point where many people just say, I just want this over.
Right.
So part of the work that I'm doing is to hopefully empower women, give them support, give them a community, give them a little bit more strength as they're going through the process to say, you mm-hmm. know what, this is painful, mm-hmm. but I'm going to stick it out a little longer because I'm looking at my long-term financial future and I right. understand how important it is. So for example, one of the things I see women walking away from so often is their share of the retirement account. Now, mm-hmm. it doesn't matter how far we've come with women's rights, with women being in the workforce, with women earning as much as men and doing as much as men. The right. fact of the matter is when children are born, it is most often in the vast majority of cases, it is the woman who is either quitting her job to stay home with the kids or reducing her work, pulling back on her career so that even though she's working, there's still some flexibility for when little Johnny gets sick or mm-hmm. the kids need to be carted to activities. So when you consider that, The bottom line is that in many, many marriages that are ending, the retirement account is in the name of the husband. Mm-hmm. And people talk about it as being his account. Now, I'm, of course, trying to change that language. That's our account. It might have your name on it, but it's really ours. And we, as a right. family unit, earned it. I see so many women walking away from the share of that retirement account because it's too hard to fight for. And gosh, I want to empower them with mm-hmm. knowledge and with confidence that they can say, you know what? Half of that account is 100 grand or 500 grand or whatever it is. I need that money for retirement. I wasn't able to save while we were married the way you were able to save. And gosh darn it, I'm going to take my share of that account that we both own.
You're talking like a strong woman.
And easier said than done, isn't it?
Yes, and that's where I was heading. Depending on the circumstances of a divorce, you're not at your best. You're right. not strong. You may have children. You may be involved in a huge job that you also have to keep going because you don't dare show weakness because you need that job. Right. And so we're not always at our best. I often say if I could go back 10 years after my divorce and negotiate, things would have been very different.
Right. Well, one of the things
that's not possible. So,
right. One of the things that I recommend that is probably one of the best things you can do if you're getting divorced is to get yourself a divorce coach. So, someone who is qualified, certified, has been through the divorce process with lots of people before you, knows the ins and outs and kind of the mechanics of how it works, and can really help be a support for you through this process. Mm-hmm. Because divorce is very isolating. You've probably never gone through it before. You have a whole lot of emotions. Right. Having someone who really, really knows the process there to support you is one of the first steps toward standing your ground on these things. And you're right. It is easier said than done. I've been through this with hundreds of women, so I can talk real big about stick up for yourself, hold out, get the money. Right? I've been there. I've done it. I do it professionally. It's not emotional for me because it's not my divorce. Mm-hmm. But what I find is that if you can make small steps of independence and confidence and exercising your rights, little by little, you get there by the end of your divorce. So it's not, right. we have to stand up one day and say, I'm taking it all. It's, you know what, today I'm going to assert that I am entitled to see the bank statements from our joint bank account for the last year. Please provide me with those bank statements, right? That's one little step.
The problem is, they don't always turn over bank statements.
Right.
They don't always tell you which ones that have been created that you don't have any way of knowing. Now, my divorce was 20-odd years ago, so things are very different now. You can't hide things the way now that you could then.
Oh, and, gosh, online banking, all the digital
right.
stuff that we do,
right.
it makes it a little bit easier on the front end to do things without someone knowing,
yes.
but
yes.
there's always a paper trail, and we almost always find it.
Yes, and that's what I was going to say, is I think that things have come a long way. I mean, we're watching in the news. You don't get away with much these days because you can be tracked. The money certainly can be tracked. There's a lot of things that ownership, relationships, houses, real estate, you know, those sorts of things are now trackable. They weren't always easily done. Could they be found? Yes. But it wasn't common 20 years ago. I think it is more now because women are in the workplace more, they earn more, and a certain percentage earn more than their spouses.
Oh, and that brings a whole interesting dynamic to the marriage
yeah.
and divorce as well.
Well, that was me. So you feel like you're doing something wonderful for your marriage only to find out that, no, never mind, I don't want to be married anymore, and you've devoted time, energy, money, in a different direction. And you can never get it back.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly the energy.
It's difficult. And it's interesting that what I see, and this is completely anecdotal, it's not based mm-hmm. on studies, but when the husband is the main breadwinner, mm-hmm. I have seen that he is most often the person who manages the finances in the family and has total control over the money. Mm. When the roles are reversed and the wife is the main breadwinner, what I see is her giving up control of the family finances to her husband, remaining hands off with it, not knowing what he's doing with it. Complete reversal of things. And the reason she does that is because she says, well, I want him to feel important and involved and valued and feel like he has a voice. And it's so interesting that these roles shift depending on who is the main breadwinner.
You know, I think it's even more than that, because in some families, you take turns. This one pays the bills now. I'm tired of this. You take over paying the bills. And so it can shift over time. It's just when it shifts into a toxic relationship, or there's money taken out that you did not even know was taken right out, what we call financial infidelity, that's actually quite damaging to a marriage, no matter who is the one taking it out, because you've not been reduced to a partner in a marriage. You've now been reduced to a dollar sign.
You mentioned earlier that financial infidelity can sometimes be more damaging to the relationship than romantic infidelity. And
I do
believe
that.
I happen to agree.
Yeah,
it is really hard.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's... Again, it does cause a problem with financial dysfunction, because you were happy when you didn't have money, and now you have all this money, and now you're unhappy. And so while money can bring freedom to a lot of people, it can also bring choices and changes that were not anticipated. And one of the things I want to bring up to you is, if you know you're going to have a divorce, if you're not blindsided, because some people are blindsided, and I was one of them. I knew things weren't good, but I was not prepared for what happened. If you can prepare, you can be rational as you look at things, and as you said, hire a divorce coach, an attorney, or just have someone take a look at things, a financial advisor. But if you are taken by surprise, things can have progressed very far on the other side, and you did not know it.
I am a huge proponent of preparing just in case. Huh. I love prenups for everyone, for one.
Right.
The prenup not only protects you if you get divorced, but it also provides an opportunity for a couple to really formally outline how they're going to handle finances during the marriage as mm-hmm. well.
Good point.
So that's one great way. But the other, major concept is, think about what if, and make sure you have some separate funds of your own that nobody can take away from you. Make sure you have a separate credit card that is only in your name, that your mm-hmm. husband can't shut down or can't remove you from, etc. And so even if everything's fabulous in your marriage and you're not even thinking about the potential for divorce, I'm a huge proponent that you need to still have some level of financial independence.
Yes.
Just in case.
I think that's brilliant, because I think people are aware of it now, but 15, 20 years ago, you didn't know that if your name was on somebody else's credit card, that you weren't building your own credit history. I think college kids are learning this now. They get their first credit card, they take a loan, and they pay it back to build credit. Mm-hmm. So I think we're getting smarter on an income basis and thinking about how to build these credit and the importance of keeping good credit. But that doesn't mean that the values will be the same by the partner. And those are important things to check out. That's why you say prenups. That's why you say how you will handle money in the future. And then later on, how will you handle money for inheritances? Because, an inheritance is totally separate money, legally.
Totally. Yes, legally it's separate. But I see situations where one
That's why
spouse,
I bring it up.
Right. One spouse gets an inheritance, right, and the other spouse encourages them to spend that money down for family expenses and things like that.
And
yes. And suddenly that inheritance is gone. And now we're getting divorced.
And mingled.
Yes. Yes. So inheritances can get messy, and it's really important to have a good understanding of what happens to that beforehand. I have a friend right now who's going through the divorce process. She got an inheritance of a decent sum of money from old family money, and she and her husband set that aside in an account only in her name and used it here and there. You know, oh, we'd like to get a new couch, and they would use some of it, but most of it stayed in that account. And so now that they're getting divorced, she's thinking, gosh, I'm so happy that we segregated it, that we were really careful with it, that we didn't touch it, because I'm really not sure how our finances are going to get sorted out. They were married for 10 years. He's got a retirement account. She doesn't. She said, well, I don't know. Should I touch any of that retirement account? I think that should just be his, right? Because I've got this inheritance money. And I said, oh, no, no. He's been working. You've been raising the kids. If you hadn't been raising the kids, you could have saved for retirement in an account of your own. You're entitled to part of that. You've got to think really long and hard about stuff like this.
Well, and think even further forward to Social Security. Are you earning your own money so that you are building Social Security credits for the future in case the worst happens? These are things that I think I got married at 22. So I didn't know much of anything. We had very little. And so I think you learn over time, but all of these tips that you're giving are very valuable. And I was always very aware of where our money was, because I was earning it and he was earning money too. Both of us did. But it became lopsided at one point, and I was enjoying. I was like, this is wonderful. Now you can go do what you want to do instead of going to that job you don't want to go to. But that's not what the reaction was on the other side. And you cannot always predict that.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Absolutely. It gets so complicated. Again, I think that some of the tips, a lot of the tips that I talk about to some of the listeners are going to be easier said than done. My mission is to just get the information out there, offer tips. Here are some things you can do. Here's how you can initiate this conversation. Here's one way to protect yourself and things like that. And hope that there's something there that every woman out there can find something to grab onto that she could implement in her life.
I think women are more aware these days. And when people like you were telling them, you know, be aware of your financial situation. Know what, I mean, I hear so many stories from people who are, in this case, widowed. And they have no idea, and it's a second marriage. So they're widowed, and the kids are clamoring, and they, regrettably, don't have an idea of the financial picture. And so then you're in a triangle, and that is really uncomfortable. So first marriages, second marriages, stepchildren, your own children, you've got to be clear on how you're going to manage money, because it is one of the biggest stressors in a marriage.
I think second and third marriages, it's even more important to have that prenup. It protects your kids from your previous marriages. Mm-hmm. It protects both of you. And it makes sure that we all understand exactly what's going to happen and nobody is surprised. I mean, goodness, even if you're going into a marriage thinking, I really want to keep my money segregated and I want to, you know, make sure that there is an inheritance for my children, if this, you know, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And some people might think that that sounds selfish. I don't think it sounds selfish. I think what's more important is that this is communicated to the person you're marrying. You're marrying this person. You love them. Don't you want them to know this is my intention? I want my children to have my legacy or whatever it is that your intention is. Mm-hmm. Communicating that to the person you love and are getting married to is super important.
Agreed. And it's very interesting. When you start to see red flags, what is your recommendation? So when you start to see perhaps money disappearing and there's no real explanation for it, I'm using that as one example, or someone is seemingly disappearing to a different location, which you can now track these days. I mean, those are big red flags that there's something awry.
They are. And the first best thing you can do is start gathering financial information very quietly. So any account that you have access to, start downloading statements. Any financial or legal documents that are in the house, make copies. Put those copies in a safe place. Any financial information you have access to, get copies of everything very, very quietly, because as you are seeing these huge red flags in our gut, we know what that means. We know the writing is on the wall. I want you to secure those documents and secure that information while you still have a chance.
Including tax returns?
Absolutely. Now, let it be known that in many marriages, one person controls the tax returns and doesn't turn them over, doesn't let the other person see them. So know that if your name is on a tax return, you have a right to go directly to the IRS and get those tax documents. You can get the returns there. Right. So if you're getting divorced and your husband is holding your tax returns hostage, because that's a typical game that's played in divorce, it doesn't matter. We'll just go directly to the IRS for free and get the copies of what we need.
It makes sense. But again, we're talking about documentation. And if you're not even aware of, do we have 401ks? Do we have Roth IRAs? Do we have 529 plans? Do we have, you know, I could keep on going, stock portfolios, diversified portfolios, ETFs. I mean, anything you can go. But sometimes you get pushback on receiving those documents, and you have a right to those documents.
Yeah, you just have to chip away at it little by little and, you know, start going down that rabbit hole of gathering. And you get the statements for the joint checking account, and you look at the transactions on those statements, and you see a transfer to an investment house of $10,000. Right. That's your clue that there's an account at that investment house. And now we track that one down. And so we're looking for little clues everywhere. Once we get those tax returns, we're looking for clues there. You know, interest and dividends are reported on the tax return. Again, we see maybe a bank that we didn't know about before, or an investment house that we weren't aware of. Now, all of a sudden, we've got some proof that there must be an account or two there, and we start tracking that down. And so it can be labor intensive. You know, it can be digging into a lot of picky details. It sounds like a lot of work. It can't be a lot of work, but the payoff is so great in the end. I mean, there is the potential for so much to be hidden. And once you find one thing hidden, I can almost guarantee you that there is more. So keep going.
That's really important information because, as you say, often character and values are shown. And if it happens once, it could have happened again. There's more likelihood that it is a pattern when you take a look at it, but it may not be, you may not think that in the beginning because you're having trouble thinking. So what I love about if you say hire a divorce coach or hire someone to help you to walk this path, you actually have an ally more than just an attorney, because the attorney's there for a different reason, but you're there to help quietly put things into place so that it's a fair assessment and a division of goods and products, right?
That's right. People tend to rely on their divorce attorneys for everything in their cases, and that's really expensive. Attorneys typically charge more per hour than other professionals do, and the attorney is there for the legal aspect. When you have other things that come up, maybe issues with your parenting plan, that may be the time to hire a parenting coordinator. When you need someone to help you dig through the finances, maybe that is getting a financial advisor involved, something like that. Those kinds of people have expertise in particular areas, and they often cost a lot less than your attorney.
Excellent. And is this a relatively new field?
Divorce coaching or?
Yes.
You know, divorce coaches have actually been around for quite some time, but I think it's getting a lot bigger now. There are certainly a lot more divorce coaches than there used to be. And one of the things that I'll say is it's really important to look at what kind of background and credentials your divorce coach has. Now, some of the folks who are out there that we see are people who have been through the divorce process, had a particular experience and said, hey, now I'm going to coach others through it so they can have better divorces. Okay. And you want to make sure that they've got some sort of adequate training and knowledge and expertise. Mm-hmm. So just look carefully at who you're thinking about hiring for a divorce coach, because there are lots of different backgrounds that people come to the table with.
I'm not surprised, because coach is a catch-all.
Yes.
And so it really, anyone can call themselves a coach, as you just illustrated. Mm-hmm. One thing that I think is so different, though, about you is you're a fraud coach. So when you know that there's been something wrong that takes place, this is a very specific and highly coveted specialty you're in. Because I think that, I mean, we watch this every day in the news. You know, you can try and hide money. And some people are more successful at it than others. But it can get to be a nightmare if you're not even aware that it's possibly happened.
Right. So it's important to have someone point you in the direction. I like to say that in 90% of divorces, it's not terribly complicated. Whatever has happened with the money, it's probably pretty straightforward if your spouse mm-hmm. is hiding it. Mm-hmm. But to have someone like me point you in the right direction and tell you what to look for is really important. I mean, I show people how to do really simple things like, let's see if all of your husband's paychecks are accounted for. Did they all go into our joint checking account? And the simple way that we do that is take a year's worth of bank statements and count up how many deposits from paychecks we had. Mm-hmm. Now, you think, well, there's direct deposit. It's pretty simple. It must all go directly into our account. Oh, no. It's very easy for someone to go to the payroll department and have a paycheck split. Or two diverted or split. Yes. And so you know, people aren't thinking about this kind of thing in their everyday life. And so it takes someone like me to tell them, hey, let's look at this issue and see what's going on. And then they get it.
Mm-hmm. No, I think it's extremely valuable. So you mentioned a divorce money guide. You have fraudcoach.com. What URL would you like people to go to learn more about what you do, what your potential to do things is, and so that they can do a little more research on their own about how to empower themselves if they're simply becoming more prepared?
Well, fraudcoach.com is now divorcemoneyguide.com because we decided to make it a little bit easier. And at divorcemoneyguide.com, you can find the Divorce Money Guide. Okay. You can find my book there, Find Me the Money, which I kind of refer to as Divorce Money Guide Lite. It's a lower cost way for someone to get access to the information. And then we also have my podcast there, which is the free resource. And the podcast is called Find Me the Money. So all sorts of resources at divorcemoneyguide.com.
Very clever. I'm glad I asked, because I have both written down and I had been sent both. So divorcemoneyguide.com. I think it's marvelous, because money can be a wonderful thing, because it helps you to stay whole and to do things and to live conveniently. But money can also be a weapon, and it is often used that way in a divorce situation. So your guidance, I hope people will really listen to this and understand that, you know, you don't have to create a weapon to fight anything. You just have to be knowledgeable and aware and gather information.
Absolutely. I say that information, knowledge is really the foundation when you are getting divorced. And it's really, having more information is one of the best ways that you can protect yourself in the process and give yourself a chance to get a more fair settlement in that divorce.
Mm-hmm. Because it's a really terrible thing in life to have to go through, but you will be much happier if you go through it when the outcome is fair. Because none of us like unfair things. That just, I mean, that comes back from the playground. None of us thought it was cool when it was unfair. And especially in situations where you have families and blended families and all kinds of things, it's best to be very clear about money because life changes and comes at you fast. So thank you so much. So more information, go to divorcemoneyguide.com. And of course, I'll put that in the show notes. Tracy, anything else that we left out you'd like to add?
I think we had a really interesting conversation. And again, take those small steps towards getting yourself more knowledgeable and to feel more empowered and more confident in your divorce process.
Wiser words were never said. Thank you so much for bringing your wisdom to us, Tracy. And everyone, go to divorcemoneyguide.com. If not for yourself, pass it on to someone who may need it, because that's really important to be empowered. We are women. We are strong. Have a wonderful week ahead. Talk to you next week. Thank you for tuning in today. You can find more shows at wisehealthforwomenradio.com.